There is work for all today. Let us all then join God's army and do the best without delay. Though you cannot go in person, you can go by purse or prayer. If you have a heart to serve Him, you can serve Him anywhere. Amen? We need everybody to work. I think that we can reach this land. Now, what is the land to possess? Now, we've got to be careful because we have this mentality when we read the Bible of all these battles and they're possessing land. And we think, well, that's what we need to do. We need to go buy some more land and conquer people and destroy people that don't want to follow Christ. That's not what we should be doing. Come on. Amen. We're not Muslim that wins by destruction, you know, or get rid of the infidel. No, first of all, the land is souls to be saved. Come on, amen? Souls to be saved. You know, Christ, I don't know if you know this, in Israel, when they marched through, those that got peace with Israel, they didn't destroy. It's only the ones that caught up and fought with them that they destroyed. They didn't destroy the ones that made peace with them. And we find people, we want to win them, amen? And it's one at a time. It's one soul at a time. Let's keep that in mind. Believers to be discipled, baptized, join the church, get involved, train. We need to do that. And I've had people over the years, I have a preacher friend I argue with. Every time I talk with him, because he doesn't like the way I do things, because I want to see someone saved. As soon as they're saved, I want to see them get baptized, scripturally baptized, join the church, then I'll train them. And he goes, well, how are they going to know what to do if you don't train them? I said, I'll train them. And he goes, what? My first message after they're saved is, be baptized. What's your second message? Be baptized. Your third message? Be baptized. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, when they get that one done, I'll go to the next one. Amen? I've been in construction all my life. You don't get someone that can't read a print to lay out the walls. You know, you don't do that. You teach them the first thing first, you know. And I remember we was talking about that, about nailing roofing. I remember the first time I stepped on the job at 14, I asked my boss, can I stop carrying lumber? I want to start building walls. He says, I don't have to ask for material, that you already have it in place. In other words, you know the pattern of the house, and nobody needs to ask for material because you already have it in their hand or near them. You can build a wall. I said, okay. So 2 months later, I was building walls. But I had to start then. You teach one thing at a time. Believers need to be discipled. That means we need teachers. And I don't know about you, we're two teachers short of a good Sunday school. It'd be nice to have a couple more teachers that help out in places. And I be honest with you, I'd like to split the high school department, the youth department, into junior high and high school. Because they're two different breeds of people. They are. I mean, I don't know which one is more insane than the other, but they're two different insanities. So we need communities to start New Testament churches. I had told Brother Alter, James Alter, I don't know if you remember James Alter. I told him, he's in Sydney, Ohio. And I called him and he said, what's been going? I told him we started another church. He's all excited about it. And he praised the Lord about it. And I said, we're trying to start another church. He said, amen. We need more of those. Churches, the church that does not reach out fades out. We have to reach out. A lot of churches. Our church in Blue Ridge Baptist Temple is no longer there. 65 years there was a church at 103-06 Blue Ridge Boulevard for 65 years with a great witness. Over $1 million a year averaged on missions giving. No longer there because they stopped reaching other communities. They got inverted and died. Let's don't do that. Amen? Let's do that. Here are we going to accomplish, or how are we going to accomplish this task of reaching much land with so few laborers? How are we going to defeat such a strong foe? How can we keep going on in the midst of apathy, complacency, and numbness of the spirit amongst the believers? So let's look in the lives of Israel and see how they did it. If you would, please go back to Exodus and chapter 17. Exodus 17, if you would, please. I'd like to give you three things today that will should help us at Cornerstone to reach There Remaineth Much Land. That's the title of the message, There Remaineth Much Land. So let's see the first one, if you would, please. Verse 8 of Exodus chapter 17. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose you us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he had let it down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Now, didn't we just read in Joshua? He said, there remaineth much land, so write it down so that he can hear it. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So the first thing we see is how do we get the rest of the land? Now listen, there's some of you here that just started coming. This year you started coming to church. Well, praise God, amen. And we say amen to that. Now, here's the first point. We need to claim the past victories. Listen, folks, we've made it through some tough times in our church. And one of them is there are some people out there that hate us. The Amalekites, hate the Jews. Now, today, you would see, and remember this, I'm saying this again, our job is not to kill the Amalekites of the land. Our job is to win them to Christ. Amen? But today, it's the leftists. If you want to call them the leftists, it's those people that reject Christ, reject God, those people that want to kill people like Charlie Kirk or Donald Trump or me or somebody else, Rand Paul and others that have a Christian belief, they hate it. And the Bible even says the righteous are an abomination to the wicked. And so we keep that. Now, that doesn't mean every time you walk around here, you think someone's going to shoot you. But we ought to be wanting to win those people, but also understand we've had victories. I don't know if you know this. I get phone calls, especially during COVID. We got phone calls. People wanted to burn the building down. People came and spray painted some nasty stuff on our doors before. We've had problems when we first started of people turning off power in the building. So we were in the night. I still remember years ago being in Sunbelt Apartments on a Sunday night, and we drove to church, and the lights, none of the lights work. We're flipping lights, and none of the lights work. And finally, I got back in the car, drove back 10, 15 minutes away, came back with some lamps, and we found out the plugs work. So I put lamps up, so we're in the lamps, got little three little tiny lamps, 25, 50-watt lamps around there. And we had about 35, 40 people show up that night, and my first song for I was leading singing at the time was The Fight Is On, O Christian Soldier. And I planned the song the week before, and the song I sang as a solo, there's a light at the end of the darkness. And I said, we're all laughing, the people are laughing, we're having a great time. As soon as I started preaching, Godfather's Pizza came up with four large pizzas. And I said, go ahead. And it was an apartment complex. So I said, go ahead through. No, you ordered. I said, listen, I've been having a service. I didn't order them pizzas. So they kind of went like yes and left. And I keep preaching. A few minutes later, another pizza, I think it was Pizza Hut, came in with four more. And I said, I didn't order them. So they left. We get done with the service, say amen. We're all giggling and laughing. And all of a sudden, Godfather's came back and said, the manager said we wanted to donate these to the church. So we got free pizza that night. God knows how to take care of us. Amen. All I'm saying is we can look back and see those victories. In COVID, we're the only church in the community that never closed 1 minute. Amen. Some of them closed at the beginning for 2 weeks. Some of them closed, and some of them are still closed. Have an online. I know some Baptist preachers are still having online services. My Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a matter of summons. And when we see the day approach, I don't know about you folks, but I saw the day approach when I saw all over the world everybody obeying one person. Come on, amen. They're bowing down to that little squirt like he was the gatekeeper at the Wizard of Oz. It's amazing. But we had pastors. I had pastor friends chewing me out. But we got the victory because they found out it was a hoax. And I look at them preachers and said, told you so. It's crazy. But we got the victory. We stayed open. Our church grew during that time. All the other churches folded. We had churches folding. Baptist churches closing because of it. I have a Baptist friend of mine that his church got cut right in half. He used to run about 300 or 400. He runs about 150, 200 right now. Well, it should be great for us, but I wouldn't want it if I was running 300 to 400. But you'd see that. They defeated the Amalekites, those that hated him. Not only that, someone said once, faith that goes forward triumphs. It's when we cut it off. That's bad. Not only that, crossing the Red Sea. You remember that in Exodus chapter 14, the crossing the Red Sea? These are things that hinder us. Every time we want to move forward, there's always going to be something in the way. I still remember when we first started building this building, we had hindrances of doubt. We had hindrances of strife. We had a couple of men in the church that were striving against the church and God's movement. But we kept going forward. We kept pushing forward and believing in God. And you're in a church. Now listen, you're in a church of about 70 members that has a great reputation of paying their bills, never missing a bill, living in this in a parsonage as well as another church, debt free, money in the bank, supporting 19 missionaries around the world at $200. I have one of the missionaries from Thailand, Brother Colin Cow, says you send more than any other church, and we have churches that are running thousands that don't send us $200 a month. And our little church is doing pretty good. Why is that? We following the Lord, staying faithful. We don't allow things to hinder us to going forward. What's hindering us now? I remember during COVID, we're the only ones going out, passing out flyers and making visits. I know pastors today still aren't making visits, going out, passing out flyers. They're going online. That's sad, isn't it? Not only that, the conquering of Jericho, remember that? They conquered Jericho, and the Lord said, now listen, Jericho is mine. First fruits. You can have everything after that, but I get Jericho. You don't take any spoil. So not only things that those that hate us and things that hinder us, but also trouble that haunts us. All of a sudden, they can't win anymore. They go to little old Ai, they lose a battle. Joshua falls on his face. Lord, what's going on here? Like we've had battles that we got beat up a little bit. After COVID, we lost 30 people in one month, moving because they wanted to go somewhere else and get away from government. You're not going to get away from government. It's just going to have a different name. If it isn't COVID, it's going to be trans. If it isn't trans, it's going to be climate. Whatever you go, you're going to find government. And sure enough, those people moved and found government. It happens every time. Why? Government will chase you down. It's going to come. All I know is we've been able to conquer those things. Trouble that haunted us, we was able to get back. Achan, the past sin. Sometimes some of you have sin in your past. I really appreciate you guys signing up back there, you men members. I really do appreciate it. I know by your testimony, some of your testimonies. Don't let your past hinder you from doing good, from getting victory in your life. I know I'm dealing with a man that I've known for 10 years, and he still hasn't gotten over his past sins. He'll come up and tell me that, and I'll just look at him and say, I don't want to hear you when you talk like that. I'm going to try to act like Jesus said, what are you talking about? Didn't you ask for forgiveness for that? Yeah, then I don't know what you're talking about. So we need more of that. So first of all, claiming of past victories. Secondly, look at chapter 17, verse 13, if you would, please. And Joshua discomfited Amalek If you would, Exodus chapter 17, verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Go, if you would, please, to back to Joshua, this time in chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Same Joshua, verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance a land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen and amen. And not only claiming of past victories, we also need to have courage for the present problems, the present difficulties that are going on today. We need to understand who's with us. Am I right when the Bible says, "Then the Lord said, and lo, I am with you always"? Go, if you would, please, to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8, if you would, please. The book of Romans, chapter 8. It'd be cool, but I don't think it'd be possible. But it'd be cool if you all had the Bible I have, because then I could just say a page number. I could say page 179, but that ain't going to help some of you. Okay, but if you would, Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. What a blessed passage of Scripture. What shall we say, then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? All God's people said. That's a good question. I wonder if we can answer that. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us some things? It says all things, doesn't it? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities." The principalities is government. Come on, amen. "Nor powers, government more, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, we need to understand who is with us. God is with us. Come on, amen. God is with us, and we need to keep that in mind. I remember some man was talking to an Indian chief who had come to Christ. And he says, how can you say that you know there's a God? The Native American leader pointed to the ground. He says, "For the same reason I know that a big bear went before us. He passed here last night. God has always left a trail for us to follow." Amen. There is a God up there, amen? And we need to remember, not only that, we need to understand that we have all that we need to win. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that he left captivity captive and went up to heaven. When he did, he left gifts to men, to churches. He left apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers. Now the apostles and the prophets we don't need anymore. They're gone. I don't need a prophet. I was talking to someone the other day. I don't need a prophet. I got the Bible. Why do I need someone to walk around and tell me how it's going to be? I got a Bible that's going to tell me how to be. Apostles are impossible. They're gone. As far as we know, the last apostle was John. And so Polycarp was trained by John, but Polycarp was not trained by Jesus. Polycarp never claimed to be an apostle. He was a disciple of John. And so That was the next guy after John. It was a Polycarp. And Polycarp lived to 88, and the priest finally killed him. They couldn't get him to deny Christ. Even when they jumped on him and pulled his beard, and when they pulled his beard, they ripped holes in his mouth, his actual physical mouth, and he spitting out blood and hollering, "Now you gave my mouth more holes to praise God through." What a guy. I want to meet Polycarp. I really want to meet that guy. What a guy. We need to understand, we have all we need. God's going to give us everything. You say, "Well, Pastor, we're not a big church." I've had bigger churches say, "How can your little church do that?" The first church had 120 people and had 12 apostles. They left and started other churches. They started Church of Antioch. Church of Antioch, we don't know how many people they had. We do know they had a few men. That's it. They were a small church, and yet they sent out two mission groups. Eventually, it was only one at first, and that was Saul and Barnabas. Then Barnabas took John Mark, and Saul took Silas. Now they have two groups going out. Man, we don't know how many churches they started. Amen? All the churches you read in the Bible, other than Jerusalem, Antioch started. I mean, that's a blessing, amen? You got all you need. We need to understand we won the battle already. I'll prove it to you. Go, if you would, to me, this Matthew. Matthew, I will prove to you. Now, if you believe the Scripture, say amen.
Amen.
So all Scripture is given by inspiration, so we know this is Scripture. Jesus says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, he's about ready to leave, and he came and spake unto them. Now, the them were the 11 apostles at the time. Judas had committed suicide, and they hadn't voted Matthias in yet, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." So that's a blessing, amen? He's with us always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? So we're going to be around to the end of the world, if we want to be. The only thing that's going to kill this church is us. Go, if you would, please. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Or, I think that's Matthew. Yeah, Matthew 16, verse 18. He's talking to Peter. He's talking to apostles, actually. But he says to Peter, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." Peter means small stone. "And upon this rock," the rock is Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. And we know that through the Bible, all the way through. And listen to this. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Folks, we need to understand we've already got the victory. Satan can't keep us from starting a church. Satan can't, they tried here. They tried over and over again here in this community. They told us when I went and, quote, had to register that we're going to put a nonprofit church in the community. They said, "You will not have any impact on this community. There's no reason you to be here." The city council said, "We already have two Baptist churches. We don't need another one." Praise God, through all of that, and me standing there saying, "I don't care. I'm going to be here anyway. You can register me or not, but I'm going to start a church." And we started the church. We just got bullheaded and said, "Who cares? I don't need a registration." So we started the church, and then we went. My wife found out we could get some paperwork and file it, and they gave us a nonprofit anyway. Come on, amen? So we don't have to pay taxes other than 0.67 acres because of stupid state law of you can't own more than 5 acres. We couldn't find property. No one would loan us money. So we said, "Okay, that's good, because I don't want to borrow money." So we went to the Lord and asked him for money. And look what you got, you're sitting in right now, amen? We got to understand we have won the battle already. Not only that, if you would, please, go to Deuteronomy in chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. The book of Deuteronomy, towards the beginning of your Bible, it's what they call the Pentateuch, which is the first five books. In chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, it goes all the way through to Joshua. Deuteronomy in chapter 31, if you would with me, look at verse 1. Deuteronomy 31. And verse 1, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And all God's people said, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Go to Joshua, back to Joshua chapter 1, just a few pages. Keep turning to Joshua chapter 1 again. And if you would, please, we'll read a couple verses again we've already read. But in verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall you be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Come on, amen. Hey, he's telling Joshua, he says, you're old and you're well stricken in years, but there's still land to reach. Hey, we have some folks, including your pastor, I'm not well stricken in age yet. That's 80 and above. I haven't reached yet. I got another 14 years you have to put up with me before I get to there. But still, we're a church that we got some old folks. We've been here for a while. Listen, we can keep going forward. Why? We can claim past victories. We can have courage for the present trials. But thirdly, we can cling to the promises of the future. God gave us some promises. First thing he said, I will never leave thee. We have the promise of his presence forever. We've all had friends, relatives, co-workers, even church members that have forsaken us. They're not here anymore. I look over the congregation and I see new faces. I see pews empty that someone else used to sit there. Not here anymore. We have young people who graduate high school and stop coming to church. I thank you, young people that have graduated high school and you're still here. But they stopped coming to church. I can make my own decisions now. Well, that doesn't mean you have to be stupid. Come on. I think it was John Wayne that said, life is hard. It's even harder if you're stupid. So, that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I had a couple kids do that. Graduated high school. I'm not going to church anymore. I said, you're just dumb. You saw how God blessed you, blessed your life. You know the Bible. You're not going to follow it because you can. I can say no. That's stupid. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. But his presence will always be with you. Folks, if all of you get mad at me and leave tonight, even my wife, God's still here. Because he's in his church and he's going to stay in his church for all eternity. So let's keep that in mind when we go forward. We may have some ups and downs. We've been beaten up a few times. Let's keep going. We need to keep going, keep trying, keep going forward. The humblest citizen of all the land, when clad in the armor of righteous cause, is stronger than all the host of error. We've got a lot of error out there. Let's stay focused. Amen? We have the power to win. The Bible says, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses. Oh, and both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And all God's people said, amen. We have the power to do it. We have the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There should be no reason why we can't win. We have the power to do it. Not only his presence and his power, but his promises. Look at Joshua chapter 21. Joshua 21. Remember, Joshua in chapter 13 said, I'm old. In fact, he didn't say it. God did. Joshua, I think he ended up being 113 or 105. I can't remember exactly the age, but he was old. That's old. Chapter 21, verse 45. Joshua, chapter 21, and that's no wonder. I'm in Judges. That's not going to help us at all. I said, I didn't do that again, did I? Okay, verse 45, if you would, please. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. Amen. Amen. God will not hold any good thing back from our church. As long as we keep going forward, as long as we keep doing right. We need to keep that in mind. We need to keep going forward, keep doing right. The work is solemn, therefore do not trifle. The task is difficult, therefore do not relax. The opportunity is brief, therefore do not delay. The path is narrow, therefore don't wander off. The prize is glorious, therefore don't faint. Henry Longfellow, some of you enjoy, I enjoy his poems. He's an amazing poet. He wrote the title is What the Heart of the Young Man Said to the Psalmist. Tell me not, in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest. The grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, and to dust returnest, was not spoken from the soul, or of the soul. Not enjoyment, not sorrow, is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow finds us further than today. Art is long, and time is fleeting. And our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, do not be like the dumb driven cattle. Be not like the dumb driven cattle, but be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present, heart within, and God overhead. Lives of great men are reminding us we can make our life sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er its life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and well as wait. We have much land to possess, souls to save, disciples to train, churches to plant. But let us not be weary in well-doing. Grab some tracts, grab some flyers. Reach out to your friends and your co-workers, your neighbors. Let's have confidence as courage, because the Lord's coming again. Time is short, the field is large, and there are many adversaries. But praise be to God, who giveth the victory in our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. I beg of you that you'll help us. Help us in life. Life is tough. Life can be difficult. But Lord, help us as we keep going to remember the things that you have brought us through, the victories that we have seen, the courage in the present to see that you are with us and you're going to stay with us. Help us claim these victories and the promises that you've given us. I beg of you, Lord, that you'll help us. Maybe there's someone here tonight that could say in their heart, I'm not doing my part. I'm not involved. I remember meeting someone years ago that did not believe in the local church. Christian friend of mine. I believe through his testimony, he was saved by grace. But I remember, Lord, him bragging about his freedom and his, basically, he can go and do what he wants. And I asked him, I says, how many souls have you seen saved this year? He said, 2. I said, amen, that's great. Our church saw 39. Our missionary saw over 4,000 that we're supporting as a church. We've seen over 50 churches started around the world through our mission support. How many churches have you helped start? He said, none. I said, you're missing it, brother. The Lord established a church so we can do more, till we collectively can reach out to the community and win the community. That man is about to die, Lord. He hasn't won a soul in years, never joined the church, never put a penny towards missions. I believe he's heading straight to heaven. I hope, Lord, before he dies, that you'll open his eyes. I don't want anybody here to be like that man. May we join the Christian band. May we get involved if we're here, a member of the church. Set petty things aside. Be more interested in seeing souls saved, saints being trained, and churches started. Give us strength and wisdom, Lord. Guide in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.